This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Here we go. It's hour three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. Cowboys OTAs continue, and today there was media availability and brought us his book to Todd Archer, ESPN for us here on 105.3 The Fan to talk more about this. And a good afternoon, Todd. How the heck are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Well, it's exciting. You know, we're inside 100 days to camp, hoping that the Stars can get a vic tonight, hoping the Rangers can start scoring some runs. But it's good to have Cowboys stuff to talk about. And a lot of the chatter today, Todd, was about Joe Milton. I think it started the presser. How impressed are you with Joe, and what do you think fair expectations are?
He was fine today. You know, I mean, heck, last week, I think he had 3 interceptions, so you don't want to get carried away in either direction when they look great in a padless practice and when they look really good. But, yeah, he made some good decisions today. Nice seam throw to Fant. Used his legs a couple times. You know, look, he's clearly the number two because Will Greer's really not getting, you know, about a handful of snaps when he's out there, and that's usually with the three. So they're setting this up for Joe Milton to be the backup. And you know, we talked to him today at his locker, and he was saying all the right things about learning from Dak and how much of a lead, how impressed he's been by Dak and his leadership and first one in, last one out, all the stuff that he does. And, you know, you hope for a little osmosis there, but, you know, he's still a guy who's figuring it out. This isn't like Cooper Rush. We knew what he was, right? We knew what we were going to see in Oxnard. We knew we were going to see when Cooper played in a real game. With Joe Milton, we really don't know, and that's a little different for the Cowboys in the last couple of years with their backup quarterback situation going into it with a question like this. So, but the kid's got talent. You can see his arm and the throws he can make. And again, he was fine today. Missed a throw or two that I remember when I was looking at my notes. But, you know, there's a lot to work with there for sure.
Were you able to pick up what the new quarterback cadence is?
No, they were too far away from us. And I mean, whatever it is, if it's not here we go, no one really cares. So yeah, it won't be it won't become the viral sensation that thing became a couple of years ago.
Did you get what
Dak's
you were
going to have to come up with a new thing, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He had the hip thing early, uh-huh. And now he had the here we go.
Pressure's on.
To come up with a new thing.
He's quite an influencer. Maybe he'll try winning in the playoffs next, Todd.
Wow. That was you who said that. That wasn't me.
Yeah, that's right. Did you get what you were looking for on that visor question with Shoddy learning from Spurrier? That was fun. I like that story.
Only the hard-hitting stuff. Only the hard-hitting stuff for me in May. You know, I'm coming with the visor question. I mean, I figured it was some kind of ode to Spurrier as to why he did it. And I thought it was interesting, like, you know, when he transferred in from KU and, you know, he was the guy responsible for picking up the visor when Spurrier would throw it on the ground. He was there in 96 and they won a national championship and stuff. I mean, that's a little bit like you're trying to know the coach a little bit and know his personality and draw some info out of him and some stories. And I'm sure you guys think the same way. The early returns on Schottenheimer press conferences have to be pretty high because we're getting some pretty good stuff and pretty good stories and you know, remember when kind of stuff that we would kind of get under Parcells. We didn't get enough of under Jason. Certainly didn't get enough of that under McCarthy either. But, you know, I think Schottenheimer knows how to spin a story a little bit.
Does he get enough credit for being a pretty good player in college? Like, if he hadn't left Kansas, he might have been starting that year, hadn't he?
Well, I'm not. I have to go back and look at my depth chart on the 1994 KU Jayhawks to see where he was.
You put me down the rabbit hole. I thought you were down there too with me.
No, but I did ask him about it. He's like, when he went to, they were a running offense, and he wanted nothing to really do with that. And they didn't change for him, and and that's why he went to Florida to go learn this fun and gun from Spurrier. And but yeah, that, I couldn't tell you who the Kansas quarter. I couldn't tell you, man. Tell me a Kansas quarterback. Help me out, Broadus. Some guy who's 5'08", 7'210", or something, or
Todd
Reese. You got some stat on something.
Yeah, Todd Riesling, right?
Something like that.
Oh, sure. There we go.
Yeah.
Todd Archer here with you in the G-Bag Nation on
hey,
the fan.
Archer, you know, the thing I wondered with a coaching change, are there a few players on this roster that kind of got a new lease on life that maybe weren't weren't favorites? You know, I mean, do you, when you walk in the locker room, you have such respect in that locker room. Are there a couple of guys that look at you and kind of go, breath of fresh air, that, you know, guys are gone and now I've got a little bit more chance to kind of fight for a job instead of being maybe in the doghouse a little bit?
Well, I would say there's about three guys in that locker room who know who I am, so I don't know what kind of respect you think I'm carrying in there. the first guy that came to my mind, because he just got so buried last year, was Damone Clark.
Yeah.
I can't say that he's got a new lease on life and he's going to be part of this linebacker rotation, because They traded for a guy in Murray and they signed a guy in Sanborn, and obviously they have Leafau and they have Overshown coming back from injury, so it's kind of a stacked deck against them. But if the same last year's crew came back, I don't think he'd be on this roster right now. So I guess that technically gives him a new lease on life to show Eberflus, who is a linebacker guy in Borgonzi, that he might have a chance to do it. He may or may not have a chance to make the roster when you're looking at the numbers on things and who they've added in the draft and who they've signed and traded for. But that was the first guy that came to my mind.
How about these safeties? How about Bell and Thomas?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the coaching change really makes a difference on that. Like, I find it weird as we're rolling
Steele?
Up on June 1 and maybe – well, no, because he's always going to be their guy.
Well, no, but do you feel like that maybe that Mike Solari, maybe there wasn't always the, you know, maybe there wasn't the connect that he had with Joe Philbin?
Yeah, but that didn't take away anything from Steele. I guess it may have affected his play, but it didn't affect his playing time.
Sure.
So he was still getting every snap and a starter and unquestioned. I think that remains the same. I think he might be a guy on the offensive side of the ball that, yeah, you look at, and maybe the coaching change benefits him just from a different approach and how they're doing things. But he was going to be, if Solari came back, he was still going to be the starter at right tackle.
Sure.
But here, you know, in the next couple of days, I might be proven wrong. I find it weird that people think Donovan Wilson's going to be a June 1 cut. Like,
yeah.
To me, I've asked around on that, and I get nothing of even close to that thought. Like he,
but is his job up? To, is his job
a starter?
How about his job? Is his job up for maybe some question then?
I don't think so. I mean, okay. We'll see it in training camp, and he's not practicing now because he's rehabbing and getting ready that way. So we'll see when we get out to Oxnard. Well, heck, maybe he's gonna be cut in 2 days because I'm not being told the right things, but
sure.
I think, you know, you look at his number, his contract and things like that. It's not like it's completely out of whack where he's making $9 million a year and he shouldn't. And then you got to work something out there. So I think Donovan Wilson might be a guy that when you look at what Eberflus has had at safeties and even when he was around here in Indianapolis, and in Chicago, maybe that's a guy that finds some rejuvenation a little bit and is maybe used a little bit differently than he was in the last couple of years.
Todd, what would you say, which side of the ball do you feel like you have more concerns or questions about right now?
Boy, that's a good one. I'd probably go defense because of what you see talent-wise, but it's just a new coach, a new scheme, a new approach with different coaches all over the place. On offense, yeah, there's new coaches, but the bones of the offense, as Schottenheimer said today, remain the same. The quarterback is still the same guy. So I guess my concerns on offense are mitigated because you know what you're going to get out of Dak. You know you're going to get very good play for a good portion of the season. They'll be in the you assume they're going to be in the playoff chase because every time he's played 16 or 17 games, they've been in that all but one or two years of his career. So I would probably say defense, just because it's the third coordinator in 3 years. You got guys are going to be asked to do something different again from what they were able to do. Who knows about this cornerback spot right now? With tell me who the nickel guy is. Like, is it going to be Deron Bland? Maybe. Is Trayvon Diggs going to be healthy? I don't know. He's not been around the team here. So, you know, there's a lot of questions. I would probably say more concerned or questions about the defense at this point than I am about the offense. Even if you got a new running back, you add a new wide receiver, there's talent and ability that you see on the offense, that how it can work together, but the defense probably has more question marks.
It's Todd Archer here with you in the G-Bag Nation. And Todd, I did make that joke about Dak, but I think the Cowboys can win big with him. Where do you weigh in on that? Like, can the Cowboys win a Super Bowl with Dak? How good does the rest of the team have to be around him, that kind of deal?
I think you hit it right there. I think the team and the rest of the team has to be really good too. And that's part of the reason why they brought in George Pickens, right? It's funny to me how one addition of a guy like George Pickens has kind of flipped the narrative of what the Cowboys offense can be. Before that, it was, man, the Cowboys, they have CeeDee Lamb and nobody else. Mm-hmm. And now it's all of a sudden they've added Pickens. You're like, all right, Pickens and CeeDee, man, that's a really good combo. And now you got Jalen Tolbert probably in his right spot. And hey, don't forget Jake Ferguson was a Pro Bowler a couple years ago. And, you know, Javonte Williams, hey, he has a background. And Miles Sanders, hey, was a 1,300-yard running back a couple years ago and blew his speed. So that kind of flipped everything. But I, as far as Dak in a Super Bowl, I think he has the chance to be a Super Bowl quarterback if the pieces around him play at an extremely high level as well. He's played well enough to be a quarterback that can – get deep in the playoffs. Now he didn't play well, obviously, against Green Bay a couple years ago, struggled in the San Francisco games. So there's questions. And again, he's fighting history here. I think since 1970, there's only been three quarterbacks that have been their team starter for as long as Dak will be and made a playoff for the first time. I think Peyton was year 9, Matt Ryan was year 9, and Ken Anderson in Cincinnati was year 9 or 10. All those guys are right around there where they went to a Super Bowl for the first time. That's over the last, help me out here, is that 50 years? 40 years? 50 years?
Yeah.
50 years, right?
Mm. Almost
the entire
era.
That's fighting history.
Yeah.
That's fighting history right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe since 1980. Not saying it's impossible, but history kind of tells you how this thing shapes up. And then again, you look at the rest of the conference, the rest of the division. The rest of the look at the AFC. So, but I do think Dak can get there. I do think the Cowboys can get there with Dak, provided everybody around him is playing well as well.
Todd, did they do enough to catch or close ground with the Eagles? And even maybe, and I know they did a nice job a couple times there against the Commanders, but did they do enough to close ground with the Eagles?
Amen. I'll give you the I don't know answer, because I wonder if Philly, there's a natural regression. Like,
sure.
We don't see teams repeat as champions in this division. It's been 20-something years since that's happened. So there will be a natural regression from the Eagles. And again, that was a team that was in a Super Bowl a couple years ago, started great and fell apart. So, you know, how is their injury situation going to fare this year compared to other teams? Are they going to have their quarterback the entire season? I think they lost some pieces on their defense could hurt them.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's something that can bite them. The Washington thing to me is interesting, because I'll go back to, they won 6 games last year in the last 30 seconds of either overtime or regulation. So there has to be, there's no way they're going to do that again. Right. Mm. So if you just win 3 of those games, if you go 3-3 instead of 6-0, that's a 9-win season. So there's you would think there might be some regression there. So, I mean, Philly still goes in as the favorite. Washington's clearly the would be the number 2 choice. But I wouldn't discount the Cowboys from surprising a lot of people this year.
What about the running back?
Boy, what am I doing?
I'm with you.
You're wild.
That's the way the NFC goes.
Hey, Kool-Aid!
The NFL's a strange lady, right, Brian? But what about the running back room? What have you seen so far in these practices and kind of where it's at? Is that good enough?
Yeah, I mean, is that good enough? It's better than it was last year, sure. Which we knew wasn't, I guess that wasn't good enough. I thought a guy today that stood out was Miles Sanders.
Okay.
I think what the outside perception of Miles Sanders is right now is not what they think of him inside the building. Mm-hmm. And I say that in part because of where his locker is situated. Like we make too much of this stuff, but his locker is one of like the first ones in a corner where they kind of strategically put guys. And I thought it was interesting that he was put in that spot. So that tells you what, you know, that they have a respect for him and what he can do. And then Carolina was probably maybe more about how he fit or didn't fit in what the Panthers running game was and how he would be a better fit here. But Javonte Williams has had a couple good sessions from what we've seen. Based on what we saw of Blue in Texas, you see a big play guy. He had a little run today where I thought it was Stephen Jones' comment when we got him a couple weeks ago. Like, when you watch guys run and on tape, and there's a 4-4 guy, and you say, man, he doesn't look like he's a 4-4 guy. But then you look at Jaden Blue run who times at a 4-4, and Stephen said, the time you watch him play, you think he's a 4-2 or 4-3 guy. There was one of those today that kind of caught your eye with the burst that he showed. So, I don't think they're going to be straight committee, but I think they're clearly going on the offensive line will make the running backs better with how they've approached the position this year.
Were you singing along to the Tupac and DMX over the loudspeakers?
Well, Bobby Belt asked me what my favorite Tupac song was, if that was it, and I came up with Dear Mama. Is that the one?
What's good, Tim? Hey Mama.
That's it, right?
Am yes, I
right?
Sir.
Hey Mama, Dear Mama.
Me Against the World.
Mama, I don't know.
Or Dear Mama. Appreciate you, Todd.
There you go.
You're the man. and we'll see you soon.
Sounds good. See you, folks.
Todd Archer, ESPN here with you in the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Okay, Jaden Blue's official 40 at the Combine was 4.38. They said he was dealing with a little hammy or groin in there.
Wow.
Pro day, it was 4.28 and 4.29. I think he might be an absolute blazer. Like the biggest thing I see is he doesn't have like the contact balance and the shiftiness, partially because he's going so damn fast. You would have to be an elite athlete to be able to change direction at that fast. But I think if he can hang on to the ball now, Miles Sanders, Javonte Williams, other good options. I'm not looking at Jaden Blue like to be the bell cow, but I think he can be a weapon that scores touchdowns for you and provides a speed dimension that the other team has to worry about whenever they see him run in.
Position, and I admit that position I have a big chance to be wrong about, but I think there's some positive things with Williams catching the football and being a pass protector. I don't know about running the football. Sanders, you know, if he kind of turns back the clock to the things he did in Philadelphia, got a chance there. But I'm not sure about that. I'm going to need these guys to play in the preseason, though.
A lot of questions.
I mean, well, Javonte's like been under four.
We were in Oxnard, and we sat there and watched Zeke not do anything. You know, and you're like, how do you know? How do you know?
Well, they don't know. They let Zeke do that and then play for 2 months.
Yeah, I don't.
After not going to practice.
I hope not. I hope we don't go that route again.
All right, we got to run. Rim session coming up next, Chief. Where are you taking it?
Good Mavs news, plus your Thunder stat of the day and the Knicks' last chance next to the nation.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Okay, time now for some hoop. We have a big hockey portion of the show coming up as we'll get you set for game 5 and try to extract whatever kind of hope we can, whatever kind of belief. Gavin Spittle, the Hockey Hawk, coming up here in about 15 minutes. Ralph Strangis coming up at 5 o'clock.
And then we'll be into the Expressway and G-Bag of the Day here coming up in just an hour now. Okay, so we're about halfway through the show. Full show today. Fan After Dark, Fred and Blake coming up at 7 o'clock. This segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Here's the chief.
Let's go ahead and cut the lights out. We'll put the kids down for that afternoon summer snoozer, and the G-Bag Nation goes all 56 inches around that rim. Always a special occasion when Brad Townsend is reporting that the Dallas Mavericks generated $7 million in new season ticket sales in the first 3 days after the NBA draft lottery. How quickly things can change. Now, I don't want to really sit into that too much because it's still kind of like bleep them and their pockets.
Like they lost all that money and then it's just people rebuying.
Yeah, not only that, but the sponsorship interest, like they don't deserve it.
They don't, exactly.
I liked the storyline that Dumont and Nico were going to cost the Adelson family billions of dollars. But dang it, I like having Cooper Flagg even more.
Well, your Western Conference champions are the Oklahoma City Thunder, 124-94. They put to bed...
Oh my God, Oklahoma just hit a bomb? A walk-off bomb?
Oh, wow.
They did?
Wow.
With two on, they were down 3-1 in the seventh. I wondered why Carter Freeman was jumping up and down so much.
Oh, Carter's...
Congrats to the Sooners.
With his arms, he's doing like the YMCA, but OU right now. He is insufferable.
Eric, Texas A&M was the number one seed in this tournament and was eliminated, I think, by Liberty.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think
LU?
So. Yeah, I think Liberty got him. Yeah.
I love it, dude. Well, OU. Oh,
I think this is the same young lady that hit a homer earlier. I think this is... she's accounted for all the runs.
The lady volunteer fans right now, or their players, their faces, I mean, just utter dejection. They can't believe what they just saw.
They were living the dream, and they found out you never underestimate the heart of a champion. Rudy T told you that.
Bottom of the seventh, was that two outs and they freaking walk off Jimmy Jacket?
Yeah.
That was Pickens.
Down two down.
Same lady, yeah. Same lady. She hit a home run earlier. Their first run came from,
Hey, fantastic. Not a winner-go-home situation, though, right? I mean, you still get a chance. Lady volunteers still get a chance.
Double. Yeah. I believe this is double elimination. So you had Florida and Texas on the other side of the bracket. So I think that means that now Tennessee will play Florida and Texas gets OU.
Well, that's good because I've grown quite an appreciation for the Tennessee team over the last couple of hours, Brian.
Yeah, very talented bunch.
Really, really, really solid team. Okay.
solid team.
You just admire the way they work.
That pitcher's got cannons.
Okay. How about this for a stat of the day? The Oklahoma City Thunder threw 16 playoff games.
Ellie Parker, okay.
Have the largest turnover differential in NBA playoff history.
Oh.
You were mentioning Alex Caruso being just a total thief with the way he plays defense. Their entire, even last year, that was a whole thing when we were getting ready for Mavs Thunder in that series. It was like, man, the way these guys are able to steal the basketball and create easy points for themselves is ridiculous. Plus 100. The next best is the 2019 Raptors. It was 24 games for them. They were a plus 79 turnover differential. The Thunder are a plus 100. They are absolutely getting after it. And that is something that is pretty exciting when you consider the styles make fights of the Pacers in the way, especially a guy like Halliburton can dominate the ball and have no turnovers often.
Yeah.
And he's racking up assists left and right. I do think this is going to be a pretty special series, but the Thunder, they get it done. The MVP, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he actually said that he wanted the fans to enjoy the moment with them. No way he wanted to go back to Minnesota, wanted to celebrate in their building. And he said to the fans, go home, get drunk, whatever you do, I want you to have fun with the moment. So, as much as the NBA world kind of is hating on SGA right now, he's a man of the people in Oklahoma City.
That's historic defense, you know, just too much length, too much steals, too much denying. Like, you know, so you kind of got to double the ball. The first guy that shows up is going to get blown by unless you're like Lou Dort. 99% of NBA defenders are going to get worked by these guys that create. So the next guy's got to come. One guy's out of position. What the Thunder do is they defend the remaining three guys with two somehow. So you can't swing across court like Luka and Kyrie. You can't swing it across court and watch a guy go to work. The Thunder will recover in that 1 second and totally seal off that lane too.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Now tonight we see if the Knicks can keep themselves alive going back to Madison Square Garden. Now in the previous game in Indiana, you had Pat McAfee going full wrestler promo style. And it was like super off the cuff. Like he went and explained the situation. That was not like a planned thing. Like they just came up to him right before the fourth quarter and were like, hey,
he's a showman.
Let's get you people on the going.
Mic. Yeah.
And so there was a bunch of stars, Chalamet, Stiller, you name that, Nick fan, celebrity. They were there courtside in Indiana. Here was McAfee trolling the hell out of them.
Indianapolis, Indiana. We got some big wigs from the big city in the building. Spike Lee is here.
Oh, you can hear the improv.
Ben Stiller is here. Timothy Chalamet is here. Let's send these sons of bitches back to New York with their ears ringing. Let's turn this
What an absolute showman for the ages,
he is
dude.
A showman.
He knows how to meet the moment. That was fantastic. Ben Stiller ends up responding on Twitter saying, yes, this was weird, describing the McAfee call out. He says, it was weird. We were happy to be there and cheer our team. And other than that, Indy fans were awesome. Hashtag Knicks7. He then invited Pat McAfee to come out to Madison Square Garden tonight. Maybe they were going to return the favor in some way. But I believe McAfee has politely declined the invitation. So we'll see how rabid the Knicks fans get tonight. Do you guys believe that they can still have a pulse by the time you close your eyes tonight? Will the Knicks still be alive?
They could. They could win this one at home. I mean, these games have been close enough where they might be able to just extend it one more.
Yeah, I agree with Wolchuk.
How about the Pacers fan, though? Having the Knicks fan rub off on them a little bit. Been charged with stabbing two Knicks fans at an Indiana brewery after game two.
No. Which brewery? It's I bet you I've been there. Which one is it? It's right across the street from the arena. They got
to figure it out. The dude is a 24-year-old dude named Jarrett Funk.
Oh, he sounds like a guy who's going to
Funk
stab
with an E. Maybe it's Funky. But yeah, this dude, it was like he got ticked off. He left, came back, stabbed two dudes.
Uh-huh. Funky?
Yeah, Funky did. Yeah, 24-year-old Funky.
The heck, man.
Just absolutely ridiculous.
Is that what Knife Guy is holding on to that thing on his belt buckle for? I always figured it was to open up a can of dip or Zen or something or cut a fishing line.
Probably just in case.
I guess some people are heading out with a knife thinking, I'm going to have to stab somebody today if I get in a sports argument with them.
I mean.
Crazy. Happened at AT&T a couple of years ago. You had the shooting.
Yeah, so. They're all right there, too.
I mean, you get drunk people.
Yeah. If I told you a fan in the NBA playoffs stabbed another fan.
I think. It's in New York.
You would have thought Knicks for sure.
But have they gone violent yet? Has that New York mob gone actual violent?
No. I mean, to their credit, other than the throwing of the trash and just belittling Brian Windhorst, they're really loud. They're rambunctious. You'll see a fight or two, but you don't see any killings. But the Pacers fan is the one who stepped up and said, no, I'm going to be that guy.
These gentlemen survive?
I'm Jarrett Funky.
And he stabbed?
Yeah,
man, from the community.
I mean, I don't even know if I'd want a knife for self-defense, because if you can whoop me, you probably will take this knife from me before I can stab you.
Yeah, it's going to turn on me real quick.
Yeah.
You know, it's strange, these breweries that in Indy, they're all open till only like 10 o'clock.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is like an 8 p.m. stabbing.
Not a party spot.
Yeah, this is like the Sun King Brewery is open till 9 p.m.
Day drinkers.
Yeah, They got like the other three breweries, St. Joseph Breweries and Public House is only open till 10. So, yeah, Chili Watering Brewing Company is open till 10.
Just
so,
a matinee stabbing in Indiana.
Fountain Square Brewing Company open till 9. This is not late night. This is not late night places. This is early in the day doing this.
This dude left and came back, too. It's not even like in the heat of a moment. It's like he kept that rage. Mm. Bleep you, Funky.
He's going to be watching the next one. From incarceration.
Yeah.
It's a whole different kind of house. Yeah. Thank you, Chief. There's a a rim session for you here. We have hockey talk coming up. Ralph Strange is at 5 o'clock. The Hockey Hawk, Gavin Spittle, is next here. It's the GBAC Nation of the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. It's the GBAC Nation on 105.3 The Fan. And it's time to talk with our boss. Happens to be the host of the best Dallas Stars podcast, Hockey Hawk, Gavin Spittle, joining us now here on The Fan with Big Game 5 coming up tonight. This one definitely is must-win, right?
Yeah, no, it's definitely. Yeah, you got to win or go home. So I'm thinking about changing the name from Spits and Suds to Love of the Stars. I can get some of that ancillary podcast listenership.
The autofill. You know? Yeah, that's 3D chess right there, sir.
Yeah, yeah. If these guys are okay with it, of course.
Of course, absolutely.
We're happy to have you, man.
I didn't buy that, did you?
No. I did not buy that, no.
Okay, so Thomas Harley under a little bit of fire this afternoon.
Yeah, so Zach Hyman is out, had surgery, terrific player, physical player. He is one of those Swiss Army knives on the ice, scored 50-plus goals last year. This year, leads the league as far as in the playoffs as hits. So Thomas Harley was asked about Hyman, and he said he's a great player. He has been very physical with us all series long. He has beat us up as defensemen, and I'm glad he's not playing tonight. Hmm. And that's what he's
Edmonton's
under fire
crushing
for.
Him.
I think just
or is it nationally?
I think it's just nationally. They're talking like the narrative is that apparently you shouldn't say that you're glad someone's not playing.
Huh. Wow, you know, I thought really the evaluation of that kind of deal being appropriate or not changes when they take hints out and then call him a bleeping P word and then hit him in his return to the game.
Exactly.
I think at that point, like if I'm Thomas Harley and anybody comes at me tonight, I'm like, look, they've gone after us.
Yeah.
You know? And they kind of turn this into a classless affair. So I'm just participating in the tone they created.
And I think if the Stars coaches had to do it over again, they probably would have not said in game, yes, we saw what Evan Bouchard did, and that's just not our makeup. Like, hockey's one of those. I mean, we're still years after years going upper body, lower body.
Yeah.
We're not even talking about what injuries.
Yeah.
Like, and at the same time, we're saying that's not our makeup. Well, as a fan base, you want your players to respond when one of your top players is hit like that. It might be old school, but that's hockey. So if you say that as a coach, that's where, like on Spits and Suds the other night, people were talking, and I hate the term, but using the term soft. Mm. And I hate that because these are warriors. These guys are all banged up right now. And to use that label, that's
maybe
tough.
Not as tough as Edmonton is how to describe it.
Well, that's correct. We can talk about the toughness as far as the makeup and the overall physicality. And my issue, what I was saying at the start of the playoffs and at the start of the regular season is you look at past Stanley Cup winners and what do they all have in common? We have Florida, we have Tampa, we have Colorado, and we have Vegas. They all added physicality into their lineup to make their cup run. And then you look at the Stars, maybe it was Labushkin and maybe it was Dumba, and those were supposed to be your physical guys, but now you're looking at it, those two guys have been out of the lineup in this series. So you really just don't have that physicality. The rink shrinks, and therefore, you know, and for Connor McDavid, like, it's going to be frustrating if the Stars lose and Florida plays Edmonton to watch how Florida addresses McDavid and Draisaitl, because it's going to be extremely physical. They are going to try to get under his skin. They are going to commit penalties. They are like, they are going to go after McDavid. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, they're agitators. When it comes to Pete DeBoer, we had this conversation earlier. If they were to lose again, three straight losses in the conference finals, I saw fan frustration already after the previous loss on social media. I guess my pushback would be, if you want to blame Pete DeBoer, what exactly was it that he did that you didn't like? Is there anything that you think, whether it was Dodonov not playing, Lubushkin hasn't played since game one, the only game that they won in this series?
Right.
Any decisions that you think that you could look at him and second guess?
No, I don't think so. He has 1 year left on his contract, and I think you have to let him play out his contract, Zach. I think it's one of those things also when you look, you were without Miro Heiskanen and you were without Tyler Seguin. At some point in the year, you were out with Jake Oettinger for a little bit. So you've been out with key players, and some of your other key players haven't really responded. You added Mikko Rantanen. So I don't think it's a Pete DeBoer. Throughout the year, I praise Pete DeBoer for the moves that he's made. I don't think because of this run, and oh, by the way, you knocked out a team that was favored against you in Colorado, and you beat the President's Trophy winner in Winnipeg. And the year prior, Pete DeBoer took out two Stanley Cup champions. So I don't think it's a Pete DeBoer issue. I mean, hockey is so limited in the changes that you can make. Therefore, people are going to focus on the coach. I love Jim Nill, and for all we know, he could be 3-time general manager of the year. His moves are amazing, but I really feel as though they have to add depth, physicality to stay up with these teams. That doesn't mean drop the gloves and fight. That just means putting a body, because you've seen what Edmonton, who's not overly that physical, but you've seen what they have been able to do to this Stars team.
Can I ask you just a hockey question in general? Paul Maurice came out and said coaches shouldn't be a part of the handshake line. How do you feel about that?
I love it. I love Paul Maurice. He's so different, and that's what I love.
Oh, he is. He's amazing. He's been around forever. Youngest coach. Hartford, I think, is where he started with the Whale.
Yeah, he did. He started with the Whale, and then he went to Carolina.
Yeah.
So I love it because he is basically saying these are the Warriors.
Yeah.
And Paul Maurice is so good. We have to look back to what he did against Winnipeg, or when he was the coach of Winnipeg,
sure,
where he said, these players are no longer responding to me, therefore I'm resigning my position.
Right.
I mean, you never see professional coaches do that. Maybe he did have...
He had a gig. Yeah, he was ready.
Yeah, he was ready. He probably had another gig ready. Yeah. But at the same time, to do that and now to come out and say, like, I'm just not a fan of that. Like, if they want to come shake my hand, great. But I'm not going to be one of those guys in line after blood, sweat, and tears you've been fighting against each other. I just thought it was very noble. Paul Maurice is very old school. But getting back to Pete DeBoer, remember, last year, after 25, 26 coaching years, that was the first time Paul Maurice, who's the best coach in the NHL, has won a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
So, like, Pete DeBoer not winning a Stanley Cup, I mean, that doesn't mean he's not one of the better coaches.
Yeah, this Paul Maurice has over 900 wins as a coach.
It's tough.
Yeah.
How much, can this change here with their injury? Is it possible the Oilers break a little bit with Hyman out?
Well, we need Bully Melrose. That's what we need for us. You know, I mean, let's be honest. Yes, but the player they're inserting tonight, watch out for, in Jeff Skinner, doesn't have a lot of playoff experience, but nearly 700 points in the NHL and over 1,000 games. So it's not like you're putting in somebody that doesn't know where to be. And he's, I think, arguably a better scorer than Hyman. I mean, Hyman's amazing. But Skinner has put up 5 years of 60-plus points. So I don't think it hurts them too much. It might ramp down their physicality. What was disappointing to see is when Hyman went out, it seemed as though Edmonton kept to their game, and it seemed as though the Stars couldn't get, take advantage. If the Stars are going to win tonight, I'm going to simplify it for everybody. Just take left, right, center as far as offensive zone. Edmonton's doing a good job as far as keeping the Stars to the outside or to the left and to the right. Mm-hmm. If the Stars can penetrate the middle of the ice and get screens on Skinner, they will be highly effective. But that's why you're seeing Wyatt Johnston. Wyatt Johnston, probably in about 80-85% of his goals, are straight down the middle.
Yeah.
So if he can't get to the middle, he can't score.
It's a heck of a performance there from Edmonton, and we appreciate your insights, sir. Best of luck to you. I know you're a longtime Stars fan and season ticket holder, and you desperately want to see this thing turn around.
I do. Stick Tap boys, always great to talk to you.
Salute. There he goes. Gavin Spittle, the Hockey Hawk, with you in the GBAC Nation. Listen to that podcast. Get on there and sub and do all that. Now, the hockey conversation continues. It is a Game 5 Thursday, and former Stars play-by-play man Ralph Stranges is set to join you here. It's the GBAC Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what?
Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.